praise God. It is wonderful to have all these kids in the house and all these things going on a Wednesday night. Have you noticed two Wednesdays in a row? Lousy weather. Do you think the devil is worried? Do you think the devil's concerned about some of the things we're doing here and some of the things we got going on and where this church is going? Amen. I think his knees are knocking. You know, wherever there's a Holy Ghost-filled believer standing on the Word of God, moving in the power of the Spirit, and obeying the Word of God, the devil's knees are knocking. You can hear him. It's that clunking sound. But see, it's just a skeleton. He's dead. He's done. Devil's defeated. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I just give you praise and glory, Lord. Thank you for all of us that we're here this evening, gathered together in your house as family. And so there's a little snow out there. We're still here. And we're here safely. And we're just overjoyed to be here. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the word that you've given Harry tonight. Thank you for what we will learn from what Harry has for us. We thank you for the puppet ministry, first night of practice back there. And again, thank you, Lord, for these kids that are in the house. And we thank you for the move that we're going to see in these kids. You know, kids are, I'm a big believer in kids. Amen. Lord, we just thank you. Again, in Jesus' name. I'm a big believer in kids. You know, one church I visited at one time, they had kids all over the place, as it should be. They had kids out in the parking lot, you know, telling people where to go. I mean, where to park. They had kids at the door greeting you when they walk in. They had kids helping with the ushering. They had kids taking up the offering. They had kids involved in every area of that church. And that's the way it should be, because, see, it's their church. It's our job to leave it to them. It's our job to prepare the church. It's our job to prepare them for the work of God. So I'm a big believer in kids, so that's why I'm really excited what's going on with the puppets. Anytime you are ready, Harry, because I'm just up here yakking. Okay. not a problem. Not a problem for a... Life is good. Life in God is good. And I am just, you know, forget snow, forget cold. I am just overflowed, overfilling, and overjoyed with the joy of the Lord. So, Father, I thank you for every need, for every heart that's represented here tonight. Again, we just lay ourselves open and bare before you, Lord, and we just invite you. We want you, Lord, to minister to each of us as we have need. Show us what we need to know. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation that we will receive. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll just speak through Brother Harry here. I thank you for the word that you've given him, and thank you for anointing him to teach it. And we receive it in Jesus' name.
Okay. That sounds lower. That's awful loud. No? No? I'm not used to hearing myself talk. That's why I got hearing aids.
No, I talk to myself all the time, me and God.
You should hear some of the arguments I get.
Do you win?
Not yet. I'm looking forward to the first win. It's been a very exciting time that I've been having this last 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks since we've had the last lesson, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I was wondering if I should keep up with what I was doing on the Holy Spirit. And I felt that that was absolutely imperative that we do it.
Amen.
And I was wondering, which way did you want me to go, Lord? And Marie, for some reason, brought out a book by Kenneth Hagin, and a lot of this stuff comes from Kenneth Hagin. And the stories that he tells about his life are a very strong influence on my life. For the last 10 years, I've been reading Kenneth Hagin's books, and we've been going through what they call the faith food that he has for a devotion for every day. And we've gone through that book 10 times, and it's getting worn out. The pages are all loose and flying around. But we keep it together with a big clip. And one of the things that he impressed upon me was faith in God and the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit, to me, I have seen it move. I've seen the Spirit move on me in so many different ways that it just boggles my mind. And it's, you know, it's not the big things. It's the small things. It's the small things. When you, Marie and I were looking for a store one time, wondering where are we going to park, you know, in this huge parking lot. And we're trying to drive around, we're trying to find the store. And we see the store sign. Oh, there's the store. Okay, and we drive over there. There's a parking spot right in the front door. Perfect. And, yeah, somebody saved it for us. Small things. Small things. The Lord takes care of so many small details that we are not really thinking about them. And we don't even expect them to be from the Lord. We just say, oh, that's just a coincidence. Watch out what you call coincidence. Watch out what you call just a natural, it's just a natural occurrence. Well, to God, yes, they are. For instance, healing. Healing is a natural cause in the life of a Christian, because Christians should be expected to be walking in health all the time.
Amen.
The abundant life.
Yep.
Jesus promised it. Okay. So I was asking the Lord what he wanted me to talk about tonight. And Marie brought out a book by Kenneth Hagin, and it's called Walking in the Spirit. And I said, well, I've been doing all that as much as I can. And I thought, what do I call it? What do I call this message? How about calling it the voice of God? The voice of God. We got to remember that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word spoke, and the Word was Jesus. In a message from Pastor Bob, we saw that Jesus was in every book in the Bible. Bob went through every book, and he says, Jesus was in here, in here, in here, and all these different places. And I believe that it was Jesus that spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. He's the one that walked with him. And I believe it was Moses in the burning bush. And on that mountain was a still small voice that Moses heard. And the Saul of Tarsus, now the Apostle Paul, he heard a voice on the road to Damascus, and he got a pretty powerful part of that voice. Turn your Bibles to chapter of Isaiah 30, verse 21. Isaiah 30, verse 21. And this one really stuck to me. It hit me between the eyes because I've had the experience. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Think about it.
Amen.
And praise God. I have heard that voice of authority, and it will cause you to act accordingly. Now, I'm going to tell you a story here. I think some of you have heard it, but for the ones that haven't, I used to belong to the Masonic Lodge, Masonic Order. Not proud of it, because when I found out what it was really all about, it was rather devastating to my life. I was sorry that I really was in it, but there were some things in there that I got to learn. But I remember when I first started with the Masonic Lodge, it was back in Canada, and then I moved up to Colorado. I never went to a lodge when I was in California, but I decided I'll go back to lodge here in Colorado. And I went up to this lodge one time. It was up in Central City. It's called the Nevadaville Lodge. I went to that lodge for a couple of years. And I was going with a fellow from the Baptist Church in Berkeley Baptist Church, wasn't it? Yeah. And this fellow and I, we got along very well. we talked a lot. Marie was working at that church, and that's how I got to know the guy. And one day, there was things that were going on in that lodge that just didn't sit well with my spirit. And I mean it. It didn't sit at all with the spirit. And I remember one very frosty winter night, I was very disgusted with the whole thing, to tell you the truth. I didn't know all the nuances about the Masonic Lodge, because they don't tell you everything. It's up to you to find out. And I read in a book, it's called The Dogma of... Dogma of Freemasonry. And I was reading it with Bill Franz, who is a member of this church. We sat down and we read that book together. And we found things in that thing that were just absolutely horrendous. Just horrendous. What they really believed in. So anyways, one day, this fellow Bob and I were walking out of the lodge, and we walked out the back door, and this lodge is on the main street, and you go up to the second floor, and then from the second floor you can walk out to the next street, which is up on the side of the hill. You walk out of the street behind it, and you're one street above the other one. We were locking up the lodge, and he locked the door. I checked it, make sure that it is locked tight, and we walked away. Now, this boardwalk that you walk over is a little bridge. It goes from here to the back of the sanctuary. And the wood was squeaking, and the snow was squeaking. You know, it was like that frosty Friday, frosty night, you know. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice saying, "This is your last night at lodge." And I turned around and I said, "What did you say, Bob?" And he says, "I didn't say anything." I turned around and I'm looking around. And boy, the shivers came. And I thought, "Okay, Lord, I know your voice. The last time you go to lodge. I heard it as clear as you're hearing me right now." And it was loud, it was clear. And I knew that Bob should have heard it, but it wasn't so. He didn't hear it. I'm not trying to tell you to go around listening for a voice. Now, get this straight. Don't go listening for a voice. This can be very dangerous. A lot of people say, "Well, I want to hear the voice of God. I want to hear the voice of God." And so many people have got into that situation. And guess who comes along and gives you the voice? The enemy. He comes in, and he'll give you that voice that you want to hear. And he'll lead you along very smoothly, and you're going to get along just great, and things are going to go great. And then he turns his back on you, and away you go. Now, Kenneth Hagin mentioned one of these people that this woman in his church that he was ministering to, and he said that this woman didn't want to hear. She heard this voice, and he listened to her what she said, and it wasn't. There was something wrong with it. And he realized that this was not the voice of God. He says, "You're not hearing the word. You're not hearing God's voice. You're hearing some other voice." And she says, "Well, I'm not going to change. I like it." She never changed. What does that do for her? That's how dangerous this stuff can be. It can really take you on. When we invited the Lord into our lives, he immediately set up his dwelling in our hearts, in our spirit. And the Lord of hosts put his spirit in us so that we would be able to communicate with him. God wants to have this spirit in you, his spirit in you. So the minute that you became a Christian, his spirit indwelt yours, and he kicked the devil out. Your Adamic nature left. You are a new creation. Now he can tell our spirits what he wants us to do or bring to our attention, the words we are to say or to for some unsaved person. In other words, when you're witnessing to somebody, it's amazing the words that come into your mind. I've seen that happen with me many times. I'd be talking to somebody and I want to tell them something and the Lord will give me another direction and boy, I start talking and away I go.
Yep.
And it's not what you expected to say to this person. It's always something different. But it's what the Lord knew that this man needed or this woman needed or this child needed. It's amazing. And that's why I say, if you pray in the Spirit many, many times, as much as you can, your spirit will get to know something. And then that's His Holy Spirit is telling your spirit. So that then the spirit of your heart or your spirit tells your mind. This is not mysterious. It's an unnatural occurrence. It's a part of being in the life of Jesus, in Jesus. Just more of that abundant life that He promised. Being led by the Spirit of God has been a problem for some. But let your heart not be troubled. The Lord has shown us in His Word what we need to do. Let us read one of these instructions. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's a little binding, isn't it? In other words, you have to be led by the Spirit to be a son of God. In other words, His Spirit has got to have control over your spirit. And it gets a little interesting a little later on here. It gets very interesting. This means that we are not led by prophets or other ministering officials of the church, but by the still small voice of the Lord. A very successful minister was once asked what he did to reach such great success. And his answer was that he always followed his deepest premonitions. What he said was when he went by the leading of the Holy Spirit, speaking to his spirit. This is also called the inner voice. Now, I know that the inner voice, what I heard when I was walking out of that lodge, I don't know if that was an inner voice or a voice behind me, because I knew it was coming from behind me. I didn't hear it inside here. My spirit inside of me, it shook up my spirit. I guarantee you. It shook me up. But it wasn't a still small voice. You know, that little small voice that you have is a conscience. They call it a conscience. They call it all kinds of things. Premonition, intuition. That's what women are loaded with, intuition. Right, me? And it's amazing how that speaks to these to the women of the church, to the other women, other places. Now here is a very interesting concept. Your spirit knows things that your head doesn't. Think of this. Your spirit knows an awful lot more than your head. If you can think about this for just a minute, if God's Spirit is in you and His Spirit is speaking to your spirit, shouldn't you be following the leading of the Spirit in you? Or your conscience? Or your premonition? Intuition? The Holy Spirit is continuously speaking to our spirit. Continuously. Now, spirit talks to spirit. Soul talks to soul of fellow man. That's what we're doing right now. We are in conversation. Well, it's a one-sided conversation at the moment, sort of say. I would like to hear what you people have got to say about this. I would like to hear what you've got to think about it. But your spirit is talking to the Holy Spirit. And soul talks to soul. And body, of course, talks to you. Your body tells you when you're hungry, when you're tired, when you've got a pain or an ache or a headache. That's your body talking to your soul. And of course, we take care of that immediately. But how often do we let the spirit talk to us and tell us what we need to do and ignore it? This study has really got me to thinking about a few things. Your intellect will prosper and your faith will increase. This is one of the ways that God has given us to bless and praise Him in a better way in communicating with our Father, in speaking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. I noticed that this last week, the more I prayed in the Spirit, the more at ease my heart became, my spirit became. The more I prayed in the Spirit, just ramble on, doesn't matter. The rest of the day and the rest of the things that come up right away, little things that will irritate you, little things that will cause you to back up and make you feel uncomfortable, the Holy Spirit just comes in and suddenly, okay, I know exactly what I'm going to do. Bob, you and I have seen that a couple of times. Feeling is the voice of your body. Reason is the language of the mind and soul. So in other words, your mind gives you the proper things to do, the right things to do, if you follow God's word. So your reasoning, whatever you say to somebody else, whatever you reason out, whatever you think is the right way to go, that's your soul and your mind, which is in your mind, which is your mind, your intellect. Conscience is the voice of your spirit. John 16:13. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. That's a passage in the Bible. That's what Jesus said. Whatever God wants you to know, whether it be the Father speaking or Jesus, whatever He says will pass it on to you into your spirit. This is not a mystery, but a manifestation in your spiritual life. The still small voice or your conscience or the voice of the Spirit giving instructions or whatever the situation you're in needs will come out. It'll come out in words that you have never used. I have said things to people and I've never understood how I could come up with those kind of words because that was not in my vocabulary. It isn't the grammar that I used. But the Holy Spirit will just come along and just show you things that you're not expecting. There are three ways that you will be led by the Spirit of God. And that is, one is by the inward witness. The inward witness. Number two is the still small voice. And three is by the authoritative voice of the Spirit. I got that one. In fact, I got it when I tried to quit smoking. And the Lord told me to, after many days of not drinking water or anything, He told me to drink. And then I woke up in the middle of the night thinking that I had smoked. And I sat in bed and sat up in bed. And I thought, oh, Lord, no, I didn't want to smoke. I didn't mean to smoke. I didn't want to smoke. And then that voice came on just as loud and as clear. You just had your last cigarette. And I never, ever looked back.
Amen.
Never needed it. Never desired another cigarette. In fact, it didn't bother, you know, a lot of people, they when they quit smoking, they get into their heads that, I can't stand the smell of smoke. I think it's a filthy habit. Bah, 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 bah. You know, they go on and on and on. But when the Lord takes it away from you in that one little instant, you don't care about if anybody smokes around you. It doesn't bother you one thing, but except you don't like the smell on your clothes. But you know, it's amazing. If He takes something away, there's no more desire. He takes that desire out of you. That's a healing of the mind and the spirit. It's a healing of the body. It's wonderful. It is exciting. And it's great. Can we miss the leading of the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes. We can and we do. I have had opportunities that I could have done good, but I was too busy not paying attention. And when it was over, I can remember this one time. I was taking a busload of kids downtown. I went to get something to eat, and I was going to have this nice sandwich. It was very well done. It was very, very good. It was from a Chinese restaurant. And I was walking towards the bus. There's a fellow sitting on a concrete wall. And he was just sitting there. He looked at me, looked down, didn't see anything. And inside of me, I heard that still small voice saying, "Give him your sandwich. Why don't you give him your sandwich?" I didn't do it. You know what? That happened about 15 years ago, and it still bothers me today. It's just that small little thing. And I knew that that man could very easily be an angel of the Lord. You can entertain angels at certain places and certain times in different ways. Does it still bother me? Why does it still bother me? Conscience. The leading of the Spirit. Jesus has a way of doing things with you that'll stick in your mind, and you'll watch out for the next time. I know that what bothers me so much is that I could have given that guy that sandwich, turned around, walked back, and got another sandwich and came home. I went back to the bus and, sit down and eat. I had a lot of time. I didn't enjoy that sandwich as much as I could have. I'll be honest with you. I did not enjoy that sandwich as much as I could have. I looked around and the guy was gone. Yeah, it still grieves me when I think of what it could have been. The word says that we should not condemn ourselves for what we have allowed. Okay? And I've grabbed onto that same passage every time I think about it. When I wrote this down, I had the same feeling. Oh, man. Thank you, Lord, that you put that in your word, that we shouldn't condemn ourselves for what we have allowed. Yeah. How many things have you allowed that you're sorry for, that you condemn yourself for? Don't. Don't condemn yourself. Learn from it. Learn from your experiences. God wants to give you everything that he has in his word. In his word. And he does not change his word. His word will never change. It's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So you can sit back and say, okay, those things that I've done, I've forgiven myself. I will not condemn myself. And Father, I thank you for forgiving me. So therefore, I look forward to the future. That's where my hope is. And my life for good will come through the guidance and direction from my Lord and through the Holy Spirit. There's a few things that I want to discuss. After this message here, I thought there was a few things that would might tend to go along with what we're studying here. I read something just the other day where somebody said that what we need to remember is that when we hear a person speak or make some untruths, we are not judging the man, but we do judge what he says. And I thought, now that gives me license to criticize my governor, to criticize the president, to criticize the... Okay, does it? Does it give you that license? You can still judge people by their actions or for their actions. If we're not to judge our fellow man, then we better shut our courts down. So how much can we judge? We have to judge what a man has done or what he has said. When it comes to libel, what he said is going to be taken to the court. And he's going to be raked over the coals. What a man does, stealing, dealing dope, speeding, everything. If you want to take it to the jury, they're going to judge you. Man has to judge man in our court system. But yet the Bible says, judge not that you might not be judged. So how do you get around it? So what do? They call you to court. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I can't judge a man because I don't want to be judged. Well, where do you go from there? Come on. Let's be solid American citizens. Judge the things that need to be judged. If you've got some criticism, don't mope and grope in the dark and blabber off a bunch of things. Don't be so obnoxious to blast at everybody and everything. Give some thought to what you're going to say. Marie always tells me, Harry, you're judging. Of course, that's when the news is on. My little conscience, huh? My inner voice, or my outer voice. You better believe it. And she's right. She's right. I've got to be stopped. I've got to be held back once in a while. I can be a little overbearing. And that is not what the Holy Spirit wants. So where do we go from here? Let's give Jesus all the glory, all the power, and the honor. Let him continuously lead you and guide you through the Holy Spirit. Now, my mother, when my dad had passed away, she had 40 years of life without my father. She never got remarried or anything. They were both the same age, and she was 60 years old when that happened. And I asked her, I said, What did Jesus do? This is before I became a Christian, huh? I mean, what did Jesus ever do for you? She says, Harry, she says, I have walked up and down this living room, dining room area, kitchen, back and forth. And she says, I leaned on him because he held me up. I could not do it any other way. And I said, you leaned on him? She says, yep. She says, I was over to one side, and I was just leaning against him, and I just walked back and forth, and he just held me. She says, I was crying. She says, I felt lonely. But from that walk, she says, I've never been lonely. After that walk, I've never been lonely. God was right there. God was showing them. The Holy Spirit. Jesus. How sorry I feel for people that haven't got the Lord in their lives. So, what do we do about that? We go out and we tell people about who this Jesus is. And it's not just salvation. Tell them about the power that there is in the Lord. Tell them about how much strength you get from him. And how much power you have over the enemy that's controlling them. They are being controlled by an enemy. And all you've got to do is tell them. Even Christians, how many Christians do you know that have no idea of who the power, what the Holy Spirit is doing in their lives? They have no clue. They have no idea that all they need to do is call on the Lord and ask him, what do you want me to do? And then listen to that small voice. There's more of this to come. There's more of this to come.
Amen.
We're not even started. We're just touching the outer fringes of being led by the Holy Spirit, being led by the voice of God, being comforted, being fed, being admonished, corrected. Oh, Lord God, how good you are. How good you are. How pleasant it is, Lord, when I can sit and talk with you. When you let me speak in the Holy Spirit, in the language that you give me. And lately I've noticed that there are so many different languages, Father. How good and pleasant it is, Father, to be in your presence. To walk this earth with the power of the Holy Spirit in me. Nothing that comes against me can hold me back. And that's the same with every one of us here. We all have the Holy Spirit in us. Help us to listen. Teach us to listen. Teach us how to hear your voice at all times. Give us the understanding. Understanding of your word. All the things that you've taught us about the Holy Spirit. It's all in your word, Father. And that's saying that the spirit, that my spirit knows more than my head. At this age, Father, I think that's very, very true. There's a lot more in there than in the Holy Spirit, in the spirit of my body, in the spirit of who I am, who I really am in the spirit. More than what my head can contain. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity of giving me that you've given me to be able to pass these words on to my fellow friends and brothers and sisters. I give you praise and glory and honor. And in Jesus' name, we all say glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
That really ministered to me. I appreciate it. I feel very much like I need to share something with you here, because it's going to empower somebody, it's going to help somebody, or it's going to enable somebody to minister into the life of somebody else. When we talk about the anointing of God, very typically you'll hear it described in kind of a condensed version. What is the anointing? It is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Now, that comes from the 10th chapter of Isaiah. And what the word actually says there is, this is a prophecy of Jesus, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. That is, the burdens of the devil, the yokes of the devil will be taken away from you. Now, when it uses the word destroyed, you notice it doesn't say broken. Something that is broken typically can be fixed. It can be welded together, glued together, screwed together, what have you. When it says destroyed, it means literally ground up into a powder. It can never be reassembled. What did Moses have Israel do with the golden idol that they made? They ground it up, put it in their water, and they drank it. That's destroyed. See, it's not coming back again. So destroyed. If he has destroyed that yoke that the devil has placed upon you, it's gone. You never need to revisit it again. Now, I'll tell you the story to go with this. At one time, many years ago, and it's been quite a few years ago now, I got this revelation. And this revelation was that cigarettes are not good for you. They're not good for your body. They destroy your body, and worse yet, they destroy your witness. That's really the bad thing about them. Are you going to go to hell because you had a cigarette? No. But it sure destroys your witness. It's very, very hard to witness to somebody and tell them how good God is and how much power he has in your life while you're puffing away on a Camel. You know, the two of them, they just don't go together. So one day I took that pack of Marlboro out of my pocket, and I held them right in my hand like that, and I took a responsibility for my actions. And I said, in the name of Jesus, because you remember the name of Marlboro and Camel and Winston and anything else is under the name of Jesus, amen, right? The name of Jesus is the name above all names. And I said to these things, I said, in the name of Jesus, I revoke and rebuke every power and authority I have ever granted you in my life. And I toss them in the trash can. Never looked back, never wanted another drag off of another cigarette again. Now that's a yoke destroyed. That's a burden removed. Hallelujah. Church I used to go to at one time, the head usher, as soon as everybody had been seated, he'd have to sneak outside and have a cigarette. That's not a very good witness. It's not a very good example. Here's a man in a position of leadership, not setting a very good example. So I hope that helps somebody. If somebody's going to hear this, it's going to empower them in some way. It's going to give them a little courage, whatever it is. Praise God for that. I certainly don't mind standing up here and telling on myself if it ministers into somebody else's life. Because that's where we minister from, isn't it, Harry? We minister from our lives, from our own experiences. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I just got to give you a special thanks just for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that love you so much, and they want to hear from you so much and spend time in your house that they'll come out on a night like this. That blesses me, and I know it blesses you. So I thank you, Lord. Now, as we just thank you for the safe journey home that everyone will have, and we will arrive there safe and warm and comfortable. I thank you, Lord, for the things that you have ministered into our spirits tonight. And again, I thank you so much for what Harry had to share. So we go now, Lord, under your love, your blessing, your protection, under the blood of Jesus. Amen.